If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN never gets old as far as I'm concerned. 736 with John Landecker. Welcoming back to the program Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra magazine and host of This Week in Space podcast. Hey, Rod, anything going on in space this week?
Oh my God, what a week. So I was home for the launch.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to be, because I was kind of hoping, you know, you and I remember the Apollo days and all that. I was kind of hoping to be sitting in an easy chair with a glass of bourbon to enjoy it quietly. But then I got invited to go on to News Nation and do kind of a co-host thing. So that
really?
Was great, you know, because,
I'm sorry, I missed that.
But I was with the guys, you know, so that was because there was an astronaut on there and me and the anchor. So that was great. So then that night I booked a ticket to come to Houston. So I'm at the Johnson Space Center now. So I'm in your time zone, but not your latitude. And it's funny, you know, it's a little bit like war, you know, those long periods of boredom punctuated by moments of frenetic activity. And that's kind of been what it's like here. So today was the big day. They slipped behind the moon earlier this afternoon. We had about 42 minutes of blackout time where they're actually, the moon is between us and the spacecraft, so we couldn't talk to them. But it's not like the old days where there was a lot of pencil chewing going on during the blackouts. You know, they were firing their rocket behind the moon to get in and out of lunar orbit. This one's just a sling by. Gravity's doing all the work.
Right.
But it's still exciting. So for the last 4 hours about, and they've got a few hours more, the astronauts have been madly doing their science program, which is mainly taking a lot of pictures and measurements of the lunar far side. So it's pretty cool. And then Friday, you know, they're back. They splash down off the coast of San Diego in the evening, and Bob's your uncle.
I have to say, there's so much to hear and see. The NASA coverage of this Artemis mission and the way they're putting it up on their YouTube channel and on the app. I mentioned at the last half hour that the NASA YouTube channel was a great place to see what was going on. And I got a text from 630 saying, you should download the NASA app on your phone. I've been following them. It's pretty cool. I got the app. I got it all. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I mean, there's great coverage. I mean, you and I remember, I hate to keep going back to the old days, but...
No, go ahead.
You know, you remember Apollo 8, which is a very similar mission, except that it went into lunar orbit for 10 orbits.
Right.
But... You know, we had to wait then until the film came back. All we had was kind of smeary, blobby, black and white TV. And they'd say, hey, look, there's the moon. And we see this big white blob, you know. Right. So now we've got, and they sent the film back. And imagine being the guy at the NASA film lab where they bring you this can of film and say, okay, this just came back from the moon. It's the only one like it in all of creation. Don't screw it up. And then you're putting it in chemicals and all that. Anyway, so those are the old days. Now we've got cameras all over that spacecraft. We've got cameras inside the spacecraft, almost too many, because in, I think, the second or third day they were heading out, Victor Glover, the pilot, was doing, you may have seen this, he was doing a demonstration of the exercise machine, which is kind of like a rowing machine.
Right.
And after he was done, he goes, it kind of stretches, and he pulls his shirt off, and the guy is built like the Rock. You know, he's this beast. And NASA cut the video feed right away. And we're kind of going, what? And they said, hey, you know, we didn't know if you knew the camera was on. We just wanted to make sure it was okay. And he said, yeah, it's fine. So they cut back, and now he's down to his skivvies. So, we had a little bit of a beefcake show there, but it was great fun.
Well, you know, the astronauts are in great shapes. I mean, everything that we've been led to believe is the physical preparation for these missions is, to say rigorous, is an understatement.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but, you know, I saw myself on camera a couple of times this week, and I'm pretty sure I'm not in that class of human being. In fact, I'm darn sure I'm not in that class of human being. No matter how much weight I lose, you know.
I'm sorry I missed you on News Nation. Do you have any appearances scheduled that you can tell me about that I can make sure I got, at least if I'm not watching, I'm recording?
Well, the biggest and coolest one I'm on right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I was on Coast to Coast for 2 hours last night.
Wow.
Which is always kind of a, you know, it's always kind of a question what the second hour is going to be because they're the phone-ins. But, you know, they were really intelligent questions about science and stuff. So that was a great experience.
Yeah.
But News Nation was the only TV bit. But they put them up online somewhere. I'll send you the links if I can find them.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I don't think I've ever seen a picture of you. Or
you haven't missed much.
Oh, I don't know about that. Come on.
We're doing a lot of Twitter and and TikTok and that kind of stuff. Because I'm here with my partner in my podcast, This Week of Space Thing, Tarek Malik, who's the editor-in-chief over at space.com, which, you know, they get like 20 million hits a minute or something. I think it's a month. Yeah. But they're very popular. So he and I are kind of doing our Bob Hope Bing Crosby routine here while we're watching the whole thing. Because, I mean, if you can't have fun with it, don't show up, you know? Now, I do want to mention something about having fun, if I may.
Sure.
So once more, going back to the old days, we all remember Apollo 11. Jack King was the announcer at launch control. You know, T-minus zero, all engines running, cleared the tower. You know, it was engineer speak. And I kind of am ashamed to admit, because it really makes me sound like a bitter boomer, but I really dug that hardcore engineer calling out the numbers to range and, you know, have they rolled onto the right trajectory and all that. And now the commentators are about the same age. These are the NASA people, but there's a lot more chit chat going on. Wow, the rocket's pretty and opening new frontiers for humankind and all that kind of stuff. And I get why they do it because it's like the best advertising moment in the world to be able to do that while that rocket's taking off.
Yeah.
But I kind of want them to cut it out and just give me the facts, you know, do your dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. But,
you know,
they don't ask me.
No, I said basically the same thing. After I heard the liftoff and the countdown the first time when it actually went. And I'm like, you know, I said basically what you said. I've been around since the beginning of this. I've heard them all. I've heard all the countdowns over the decades. And this one sounds, the sound quality of this one is just too good. It's, you know,
it doesn't, I know.
But once the rockets fire, that saved it. That saved it. I mean, like, oh, there we go. But
yeah. Well, and so shortly after the launch, so I think I've told you before on the show, I'm working on a book with one of the Apollo flight directors, Jerry Griffin, wonderful guy. And he's 91 now. And he was the only flight director that actually showed up for the launch because the rest of them are, you know, some of them are just too old to come.
Right.
But he was here at Mission Control, treated like a god, of course.
Oh, of course.
So I said, you know, I said, Jerry, I'm doing radio tomorrow. Can you just give me your impressions of the launch? He said, sure. So, I mean, you know, he's a flight director. He used to be the director of the whole Johnson Space Center, but he's an engineer at heart. So I said, you know, how was the launch? What was it like? And he said, it was really good. And I was like, okay, but, you know, what did you feel? So he did talk about it a bit. And he said the thing that really shocked him was he's seen every rocket since the Gemini's going up, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said this is the first time of any major human spaceflight launch that he was involved with, including the shuttles. But specifically for a brand new system, first crewed flight on the SLS, he said it was perfect. I couldn't believe it. They had that 10-minute hold, but from what I understand, that was planned. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to go that day. That's why I hadn't flown here yet, because I figured I was going to be sitting around for 3 days waiting for them to do scrubs. No.
Got it.
They took right off, flew perfectly. They nailed the trajectory. They canceled the first two little corrective maneuvers they were going to do on the way there.
They fixed the toilet.
The first 2 days.
They fixed the toilet.
They did apparently fix the toilet. Finally said, you can use the toilet. And, you know, that has kind of become the story, right? I mean, everything else is cool to go on the moon. That's all. But let's talk about the toilet. What's wrong with the toilet?
Well, we all have one. We all have at least one in the home. And they've got at least one in the spacecraft. So, you know, you can relate to it to a certain extent. We're talking to Rod Pyle, Ad Astra Magazine, host of This Week in Space podcast, doing more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
20 WGN, John Landecker with Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra Magazine, host of This Week in Space podcast. That's, I think, a great moment. NASA's feeding them that tune, and it cuts out, and it's like, hey, we were waiting for the chorus. I think that's awesome. That's just, I mean, that humanizes all of this so much, to me, anyway.
It does. Yeah, and I have to say, you know, all the crews that have gone to the moon and back, and space station and shuttle too, you know, they kind of loosen up once they get up there because the training's over and they're doing the mission and they're having the time of their lives for the most part. But then, you know, they come back to Earth and often, well, I'm going to get in trouble for saying
no,
this, but
do
quite
it,
often,
do it. No, go.
You get an astronaut who's still serving, you know, as an astronaut in an interview, and you tend to get some very scripted sounding answers, and then they retire and they can kind of open up, but then they get up into space and it's like they're like kids in the candy store, right? I mean, if you remember the moonwalkers, they were laughing and falling down and all that.
Yeah.
These guys clearly having a good time. And let's not forget, you know, they're in something the size of a very small camper van, but it is zero G. It feels larger. And, you know, 8-10 days is a long time to spend in a camper van with three of your closest friends, especially if the toilet's not functioning. But, you know, they're making it work. Speaking of the toilet, so I guess the first malfunction was the fan was jamming. And it needed, apparently it needed some fluid squirted in there, not what you're thinking, to get it to fire up. And the fan, you know, since there's no gravity, you know, when you're doing your business, stuff will just float around. So the fan sucks all that down, right?
Yeah.
The fan sucks that into the toilet. So this was developed on the shuttle and the space station. They got that fixed. Then the urine tanks filled up because their dump valve, which is supposed to vent the stuff overboard, had iced up. So they had to turn the spacecraft towards that part towards the sun, and it melted, and they were able to get more of the stuff out of there.
Man.
And so I don't know what the remaining problem is. There was a concern about a burning smell, but it was very slight and didn't appear to be associated with anything electrical. So, as far as I know, the toilet's okay now. But boy, what a drama that was, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I was on the edge of my toilet seat. It was just unbelievable.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. You know, I have to say, it's so nice to keep track of people in outer space so I don't have to pay attention to what's going on this planet. You know what I mean? I'm serious. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
I hear you, man.
This is a great diversion. Oh, my gosh. You know, anytime you want a little relief, hey, check out the flight.
I was a little bent, I guess, the night of the launch because we had the spectacular launch that brought a tear to my eye, although I hit it because I was on camera. But you know, it was really, I'm a dude. It was really emotionally affecting, though. And then the next thing I know, we're cutting to a speech from the White House about the war. And, you know, he's got to advise the country, and I get all that. But it just, it really brought it down. And I thought, oh, there that goes. But we remember, you know, 1968 was a pretty horrible year for the U.S. and Apollo 8.
It sure was, yeah.
As is made famous by a telegram Frank Borman got shortly after they got back, a woman wrote, you saved 1968. And I'm kind of hoping that this flight will have that kind of effect on 2026, but we'll see.
You know, I mentioned earlier before I got on with you, I can't remember the number of times that you and I have mentioned this Artemis program and its various stages of getting of readiness and also one or two problems and delays and cancellations that they've had over a few months, and how great it is that this attempt is going as well as it's going, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it is primarily an engineering test flight, you know, there is science being done and so forth, but it was really designed to go without a lunar lander, as we know. To test the life support systems, to test the communication systems, and also, as Jerry Griffin pointed out, to test mission control because they haven't left Earth orbit since with people since 1972.
Wow.
All that institutional knowledge in the Apollo days is cycled out. So there's a pretty steep learning curve, and they've done it with simulations and stuff, but there is, you know, this experiential part. And he was telling the troops, because, you know, they treat him like a god when he shows up, right? Because he was flight director number six. I think they're on 140 now or something. But when he shows up, he says, you know, this is different. These people are going to be a week from home in some parts of that flight. And you have to be ready to do what it takes to bring them home safe. And it's going to be a very different experience. But we were looking at mission control just the other day. We can only go there certain times a day, but we were in the gallery and very calm, very collected, people doing their jobs. It's just great. It's great to see because it's working. Like you said, you know, there were delays and so forth.
Right.
But it's just working tremendously. I'm so happy.
Well, I think it's great PR for NASA. And it couldn't come at a better time. And, I mean, I don't know for sure, but it's my hope that the whole world is watching and appreciating what's going on. And it takes them away from some of the other things that are going on. I really hope that that continues. Yeah. Rod, thanks for being with us. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm enough of an American patriot that I also hope that they look at this and say, you know, America still got it.
Yeah.
Because we do.
You bet. Thank you, Rod. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Take care.
You bet. Rod Pyle, editor in chief of Ad Astra magazine and host of This Week in Space podcast.